Good morning again, church. Are you all having a good morning? I hope so. It's good to see you. Did you all enjoy celebrating Christmas with your family and friends? I can tell you we've had a very blessed time in our household, having our family from Hillcrest, Mike and Claire and William and Zachary visiting with us. It's been such a joy just to connect and to be with one another in fellowship and to share our journey with the Lord together with one another. Are you still enjoying this weird limbo time between Christmas and New Year? This time when you're not exactly sure which day of the week it is because you wake up in the morning and, you know, the days are the same. You don't have anything to do really. So you just arb around the house. You're not on holiday. You're at home and you're in this limbo period between Christmas and New Year. How's everybody's diet been this last while? I can tell you my diet for the last few days. Hey? Alles wat ek sien die eet ek. I can tell you that my diet for the last few days has been nothing but Christmas fruitcake. And I was feeling a bit, my family will tell you, I was feeling a bit ill from all the sugar that I consumed. But I'm happy to report up until this morning that I still have not had the excruciating stomach ache that sometimes threatens to disrupt my festivities. But if you want to be foolish enough to overindulge, you must suffer the consequences, eh? Now, I don't know about you, but every year as we near the end of the year, I get very, very reflective. I'm just one of those people. I reflect a lot. And this year is no different. I've been looking back on 2024 and analyzing all that has happened. In many aspects, it has been a difficult year, but also one in which I've learned a lot. And that's what we want, right? Even in our experiences, God is building our character. And my character's been built a lot in this year, and I'm sure it will in the next year as well. I have made some mistakes that I hopefully will not repeat in the new year. Also, I've been thinking a lot about the new year and getting ready to plan. Not quite planning yet, just getting ready to plan. Now, if you look back on your 2024, what are some of your highlights? Think for a minute. What are some of the things that you would rather forget about that happened this year? What is your spiritual walk? And be honest, what has your spiritual walk with the Lord been like this year? What are your hopes and goals for the year 2024, 2025? I mean, we all hope that things will go better next year in our personal lives and in the world, in our church. And what a blessed assurance it is to know that God is always in control. Now, 2024 around the world has been a very eventful year. We saw the continuation of the Russia-Ukraine war, which is now, believe it or not, almost been going for 3 years. The ongoing conflict in the Middle East. There are many conflicts around the world that we're not even aware of happening. There were earthquakes and floods in various places around the world. That flood in Spain that claimed so many lives. It was really, really hectic. And many countries have had elections this year. Namibia and Mexico electing their first female presidents. America re-electing Donald Trump for a second non-consecutive term, only the second in their history, I think. And of course, our own election, seeing the ANC not getting their majority for the first time since the beginning of our democracy. At ECC, we started the year with a short sermon series through Habakkuk on the first 3 Sundays in January. We continued our sermon series on the Gospel of John, and what a blessing that has been to work through the Gospel of John in such detail. I don't know about you, but it's been a blessing to me. And we're not quite finished with that. We're going to take a little bit of a break from John, but then we'll get back into John and hopefully finish it by the middle of the year, God willing. We touched on the end of Mark's Gospel for Easter. We had a couple of people join us as members at the beginning of the year, Diana and Ashley as well. He's not here this morning. We celebrated our third birthday and ended off the year with the Old Testament Christmas series, which was also such a blessing. Now, all that has happened this year, we thank God that He is sovereign and that He has kept us to this day, to this very hour. Church, let us not take for granted that the reason that we are here this morning, the reason that we are taking the breath, every breath that you take in is because of His mercy and His grace. He provides for us. It's because of Him that we are here. What a joy it is to be his child and to have a relationship, a personal relationship with the creator of heaven and earth. This morning's text is one that you will know well, a wonderfully encouraging text when you are thinking about another year of your life, when you are thinking about your successes and your failures and God's providence through it all. So please turn with me this morning to Lamentations. When last have you read Lamentations? It's not a very long book. So it's one of those books that you can read over and over through the year because it doesn't take very long. So this morning, if you haven't looked at Lamentations for a while, let us look at Lamentations. And this is a text that you will know well. Lamentations chapter 3. Now I'm going to focus on verses 22 to 24, but I'd like us to start reading from verse 19. Lamentations 3. If you're uncertain where to find it, it's after Jeremiah and before Ezekiel. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. So we're looking at verses 22 to 24 this morning. And this is one of those beautiful passages. I read through the whole of Lamentations again, and a lot of it is not familiar because it's not a book that we often read, but these verses are so familiar to all of us because they're so beautiful. And there's that beautiful song that we sing, praise song, that I love so much. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Beautiful, eh? Let us look briefly at the context of these verses to get a better understanding of them and to see how we can apply them to our life at this particular time. Now, it is widely accepted that the book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah. Hence, it comes after Jeremiah. In the time just after the kingdom of Judah fell to the Babylonians in 586 BC, the Jews had been warned before by other prophets that their disobedience to God would be punished. And Jeremiah told them that the Babylonians would take over their land, but they would not listen. Hence, Jeremiah's desperate mourning, and you'll see it as you read Lamentations, the whole book, his desperate lament, his desperate mourning over the fall of Jerusalem, the great city in Judah. How Judah's sin resulted in God rightly judging them and punishing them for not upholding their end of the covenant that they made with him. You will recall that God established a covenant with Moses, the Mosaic covenant, that if Israel obeyed God's laws, blessing would follow. And if they disobeyed God's law, they would be cursed. And we know from reading Israel's history in the Old Testament that a lot of the time, they didn't do so well at keeping God's law. After years of disobedience, God allowed the northern kingdom of Israel to be taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And then years later, the southern kingdom of Judah was conquered and subdued by the Babylonians. Jeremiah, who lived through the siege of Jerusalem, writes these five laments in Lamentations as he reflects on the events, and he is greatly saddened. Jeremiah wrote the laments to be read, memorized, recited, and sung, much like the Psalms, to remember this terrible time. Many of the Psalms are also laments, and like some of the Psalms, the first four laments in Lamentations are written as acrostic poems. That is, poems where each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. Hence, you will see that chapters 1, 2, and 4 have 22 verses each to follow with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 5 also has 22 verses, but it is not an acrostic poem. The chapter our text comes from, chapter 3, has 66 verses, where three verses at a time start with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is interesting as we look closer at our text this morning. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to one more thing before we get into our text. You'll notice that when you read the first two chapters of Lamentations, that in the first one, Judah and Jerusalem are likened to a woman and spoken of in the third person. The second chapter speaks about God and what he is doing about Judah. And now in chapter 3, Jeremiah writes in the first person. Because he experienced these things himself, he writes in the first person, which makes it more personal and we can relate to it. So let's get into our text. You will see that in most Bibles, the verses in this chapter are actually grouped in three verses. And the verses in our text are grouped together because they start with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But I want us to just start at the previous three verses because it leads nicely into our text. Just as we think back this morning on this year and our walk with the Lord and all we did might not have been pleasing to the Lord, Jeremiah writes about how he recalls the tough moments in his life, things he has done and places he has seen. He says in verse 19, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings." And he says, "The wormwood and the gall." The wormwood and the gall. Wormwood and gall are bitter things. So he thinks about the bitter things in his life and how those things just get him down in his soul and in his spirit. Verse 20, he says, "My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." He's not happy. But then he thinks about and calls to mind the facts that are found in the next three verses. That is, in verse 22, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The phrase steadfast love appears in the Bible approximately 200 times. 196 of those times are in the Old Testament, and 127 of those times are in the Psalms. Now, the steadfast love refers to God's faithfulness, his loyalty, his kindness, his constant goodness to us. Psalm 136, which we've read before, the steadfast love psalm alone contains this phrase, the steadfast love, 26 times, where it's repeated every time, his steadfast love endures forever. That is something that I want you guys to remember this morning, church, that his steadfast love endures forever. God's love is steadfast. It's a loyal love, a constant, immovable, unfailing, unchanging love. God has a covenant relationship with us. When we get married, we enter into a covenantal relationship. It is a strong bond, something that we shouldn't take lightly. And we can't take our covenantal relationship with God lightly because God doesn't take his covenantal relationship with us lightly. Then it says that his mercies never come to an end. His mercies, his compassions. Other translations speak of God's compassions as never failing. The New King James Version and the NIV speak about his compassions never fail. And I was reminded of Jesus having compassion on the crowds following him in Matthew 9, how he saw that they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. God shows us mercy and has compassion towards us, even when we don't deserve it. And his mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. No matter what happened this day or this year, if you feel that you are beyond God's forgiveness, that you are, that what you did is just too terrible, remember his mercies are new every morning. Every day, every new year is a chance to start over. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. Confess your sins and he will forgive you because his mercies are new every morning. When you've had a terrible day where terrible things has happened and you have done terrible things, when you wake up in the morning, it's a new day. The fact that you woke up that day is because God ordained for you to get up that day and face a new day. Just confess your sins and he will forgive you. Remember John 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All those unrighteous deeds that you do, God is able to forgive you for those. Just confess your sins. God is faithfulness. His faithfulness is great. He is steady, trustworthy, a sure foundation. Everyone else in your life can fail you. Everything else can let you down, but not God. He is the one sure thing in this life. There is no one more truthful, no one more just, righteous. Nothing or no one more good or holy than God. No one more loving than him. Great is his faithfulness. It's interesting that this passage speaks about God's faithfulness, because faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22-23. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There's no one more faithful than God, but we are called to be faithful as well. Because that's a fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so, our souls can say, like Jeremiah is in verse 24. Jeremiah says in verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul." I know it. Deep down, the deepest part of me, that the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is my portion. What does it mean to say the Lord is my portion? A portion, everyone gets a portion of dinner, right, in the family. So portion speaks about a share, an allotment. The Bible often speaks about portions of land being apportioned to some, to different groups in the Israelite camp. It's a plot of ground. It's a portion is your inheritance. The Lord and all he has for me is enough for me. He will take care of all my needs. I am content with my daily bread. And this word portion is also comes up so many times in Scripture. And two verses I just wanted to read to you. So beautiful. Psalm 73, verse 26. Such a beautiful, beautiful verse. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 142, verse 5. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. It means that the Lord is the sustainer and preserver of my life. If I put my trust in him, the Father, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, sustains me and preserves my life because I put my trust in him. I will hope only in him. Our hope is in God alone. We know that no matter what happens to us in this new year, that we have the Lord. That's what I want to encourage you this morning with, church, is that our hope is only in him. When we have the Lord God, we don't need anything else, because we know that no matter what happens in our life, he is always there for us. We can look forward to what's coming ahead in 2025 and say, Lord, I know you are with me. I've got nothing to fear. And even in the toughest times of our lives, he is there for us. But what can we do this year while we hope and trust in the Lord and while we wait on him? Commit this year to submit everything in your life anew to the Lord. Commit to submit. Commit to submit everything to the Lord this year. Your family, your work, your finances, no matter what, commit it all to the Lord. Be more diligent in reading the word of the Lord and pray. How do we commune with God? We commune with God through prayer, so pray more. Be diligent in reading his word. Psalm 1 tells us that the righteous person, what does Psalm 1 tell us about the righteous person and the word of God? Verse 2, the righteous person delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. May you meditate on God's word day and night this year. It's so easy for us to neglect reading the reading of God's word. Trust me, I know. It's easy to neglect it and find other things to do, more important things, more pressing things. But make time to dwell on God's word, to meditate on it day and night. And I also want to encourage you to go on a discipleship journey this year. We're planning to do some discipleship this year as well. So be discipled, but also disciple somebody. And finally, let us do what Jeremiah tells us a bit further on down in this chapter this morning. He says in verses 40 and 41, he writes, "Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and our hands to the God in heaven." And that's what I want to encourage you this morning with, church, is to bring everything to the Lord in prayer. Test and examine your ways daily. The life of a Christian is marked by confession. Often we fall during our days, but we must always confess, repent, and turn back to the Lord. Let us test and examine our ways. Look deep inside yourself again this year and see if there's something that is not pleasing to the Lord that you do. And return to the Lord. Lift up your hearts and your hands to the God in heaven. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, your faithfulness is so great. You are awesome. You are wonderful. You are sovereign. You reign supreme. Nothing catches you off guard, Lord. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know each and every hair on our heads. You know the deepest, darkest places in our heart. And you love us. Your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for that reminder again this morning, Lord. Father God, we love you and we desire nothing more than for your will and your will alone to be done in our lives and in the life of our church. Everything that we do, we want for it to be an act of worship to you, Father God. Whether we're working, whether we're just spending time with family over this Christmas season, or whether we work, when we engage with our family, with our friends, with our work colleagues, we want everything that we do to bring you glory and honor and praise. And if there are things in our life, in our lives, Lord, that do not bring you glory, that do not honor you, by your Spirit, will you convict us of those things and help us to turn from those things, to flee from those temptations, Lord. Thank you for who you are and for what you do for us daily. We take nothing for granted. We are so thankful and grateful for all that you do for us. The mere fact that we are here, Lord, is because of your providence, your grace, and your mercy. And we thank you for that. We do not take it for granted, Lord. Help us, remind us daily that all that we have is from you. And that we should do everything in our power, Lord, to turn to you daily, to read your word, to pray, to be close to you. We love you so much and we thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your blessings which you bestow on us. Help us to be blessed, to be a blessing to those that are around us, Lord. Help us to be salt and light for you in every space where we enter into again this year, Lord, whether it be work or family. Help us to be your light and your salt, flavoring the places where we go into. May people know that the Lord Jesus has been in their midst, because we have been there, Lord, and we strive to grow to be more like Jesus every day on our path to sanctification. Thank you that we were on this path of being made more holy. How you reveal to us daily those things that do not please you. Help us to turn from them, we pray. We love you, Father God. Thank you so much for this day and for this service, for the worship. And we pray that it was pleasing in your sight this morning. In your wonderful and mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.